just going to give you kind of cross-section of the stuff that that I love the most in American music, and that's ragtime, of course. And I'll try not to talk too much, although it's not easy for me. Well, let me just go on with the blues, a completely different kind of music. Ragtime has lots of notes, there's some pianists who are among my favorites who hardly play. They play one note to every 15 by Joplin or something like that. There was one guy named Jimmy Yancey from Chicago, self-taught piano player, fantastic musician, got lots of music out of very few notes. I'll try to demonstrate that. This is the way he used to play How Long Blues. Well, you certainly are a good audience. I should tell you about that tune. It's very quiet, of course. And when you play in some of these theaters and things where they have perfect acoustics, not only can the audience hear all the music, but the performer can hear everything that the audience says, whispers, whatever. So, you know, watch it next time you're in a place like that. I was... playing that particular piece. And I heard somebody, it could have been a woman, but she was whispering, so I'm not sure. And she said something like, "Well, I'm about to go to sleep here." Jeez. These are some of the slings and arrows of performing. Anyway, and after a while, when it got to the really quiet part, she said, "I don't think he knows that number." So, maybe she was right, too. And anyway, you have to learn to... this one. The next one is the only waltz in the program. And it's by Fats Waller, a great New York pianist and composer. He wrote Ain't Misbehavin' and all kinds of fairly well-known tunes even today. This is called the Jitterbug Waltz. Thank you. Here's another Fats Waller tune. And actually, this is one I usually play when they occasionally I'm engaged to play in a church service, just incidental music of some kind. And when it comes time for the offertory, this is the one that I usually play. It's called Squeeze Me. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks very much. Here's some more ragtime. This is not really like Joplin, though. It's a character named Eubie Blake, who was born in Baltimore in 1883. It was still around when he was in his 90s, playing on all the talk shows on TV and talking about his career, which included the first African-American musical on Broadway back in 1921, among many, many other accomplishments. And he demonstrated a lot of things and recorded some stuff, made some LPs, and played on the Johnny Carson show. He was a great ad for the cigarette business. He was always smoking when he was on TV. I don't recommend that. But there he was, and he said, if I had known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. Well, and he should have. No, I shouldn't say that. We used to think he lived to be 100 years old, but in fact, turns out he wasn't born in 1883, as I just said. But he lasted until 1983 and was actually born. It's pretty hard to disprove. He wouldn't be able to, because there's some documents that they found he was born in 1887. Not 1883, so wasn't such a big deal after all. Actually, it was. And he demonstrated this piece. He said all the traveling piano players used to play this, and they learned it from the guy who composed it, apparently. And I'm trying to think of his name, but I can't at the moment. It'll come to me while we're doing this. It's called The Dream. It's the kind of thing they used to pass around. This is really folk music, and it's... It's back in an era when there were still regional styles and things. This is kind of a Eastern Seaboard way to play the piano from probably 1885 or something, 1890, who knows. It goes way, way back, further back than Scott Joplin even. This is called The Dream, as I said. Thank you. There's another New York pianist whom I like quite a bit. His name was Willie the Lion Smith. And he was one of the pioneers. He went back further than Fats Waller and was actually quite influential, but he's nowhere near as well known as Fats Waller became because he wasn't the kind of entertainer that Fats was. Fats Waller was a big deal. He was in the movies. He had his own radio show, national radio shows. He was on the air. He was in the films. He was traveling the country all the time, making lots and lots of recordings. In the 30s, he was a multimedia star. Well, somebody like Willie the Lion, who wasn't that kind of showman, but was extremely influential, was not that well known. But he did influence a lot of people, including notably George Gershwin, who would have told you that if you'd asked him. He told somebody. That's how I know. Anyway, and Duke Ellington was another. Actually wrote a piece Ellington did called Portrait of the Lion. And it's kind of a tribute. And others, including a clarinet player who was quite well known back in the swing era, Artie Shaw. He was, when he first got to New York, he was walking around carrying his clarinet case and listening in doorways, and he heard this piano music, and he went in and started talking to the piano player. It was the Lion, and spent a lot of time listening and playing with him, sitting in, and he said he learned a lot about all kinds of harmonies and stuff, jazz. So I got a couple things by the Lion here. The first one is called Concentrating. Thank you. Thank you. That one is called Echo of Spring. That was Willie the Lion Smith's signature tune. It's on a CD that I made one time, but I'm not going to try to sell you that. No high-pressure stuff whatsoever. In fact, forget that I even mentioned it. It's not... Why did I say anything whatsoever? But as long as I need to tell you then how you can find this. No pressure. I wrote it on the back of this receipt. See, I'm not real good on the internet. I don't understand this stuff very well, so I have to look at this to make sure I get the URL right on that. ButchThompson.com. Should memorize it, I suppose. But, I have a tune here by Jelly Roll Morton, New Orleans guy. He was a pianist, a great composer, and band leader, recording artist, character. We're going to talk about him in one of our sessions coming up during the coming week. Some of you have to leave, I know, but this is kind of to tell you what you're missing. And this is one of his Latin American things, kind of like a tango, sort of like a habanera or something. It's really sort of island music. He would have written this back before 1920, well before 1920. And it's called The Crave. Thanks very much. Yeah. Thank you. Here's another blues. This one, kind of another piece by Jimmy Yancey. He doesn't really have any particular title. He used to play a certain way in certain keys on the piano, self-taught, so he didn't think about it. He'd sit on the side of what key to play in, if he even thought about it like that. I'm not sure. Who knows? And play something when he played in C, like what I'm going to do here. And then, depending on which recording it was, it has a different title. And these things were issued. And of course, there are differences between the recordings, but it's basically the same stuff. My favorite title for this is Jimmy's Stuff. So I guess we'll call it that. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, Jimmy's blues, he ended everything in the key of E flat. Didn't make any difference. In fact, he played the same ending on everything. So I always, when I get to that point, I always wonder if I should actually go to E flat or not. And I usually do. But then I feel like I have to explain it. Really. Sorry about that. But it's folk music, like I said. There were a couple of other people who used to use the same endings on things or had the same intro on everything or whatever. We don't have time to go into it all today, but I have just a couple more things for you. One is another piece by Jelly Roll Morton. And the thing about this New Orleans jazz that Morton played, and he pretty much invented the way to play piano down there in New Orleans, as far as anybody can tell, is that you're supposed to never play anything the same way twice. And it's true of just about everything I've done here, except maybe the Joplin. So you don't do that. You're supposed to make up new variations all the time. And Yes, I'm not going to try to tell you that I'm going to play this entirely differently from the last time, but mostly probably, and it's the variations that make the difference. And I'll stop when I think I'm wearing out, but it's not going to be that long. That's not the point. But it's called The Pearls, and it is like a rag in that it has, you know, like three sections. This one has Joplin's Maple Leaf that I played has four different themes. This has three of them. And it gets that from ragtime, along with other things. Kind of the left hand is kind of the same thing as ragtime, too, with a bass note and then the chord in the middle and stuff. I should save this for the sessions. It's where it's supposed to be. But this is New Orleans jazz, really, though they may have called it ragtime back when they were doing it. Who knows? These labels don't really make a whole lot of difference. It's just music from New Orleans. And it's called The Pearls. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks. Called The Pearl. I have time for about one and a half more. You decide which is the half. The first one, I got to get this one in. I almost forgot about it. It's a piece by a Midwesterner like me. He was from Davenport, Iowa. His name was Bix Beiderbecke. And he played the cornet. He's extremely influential, Germanic heritage, actually. Bix was also an interesting pianist. And here's one of his pieces that luckily was published. He did not write these things down himself. He wasn't really a highly trained at all. He didn't take very well to piano lessons when he was a kid, but later on he became a jazz musician, improviser, and had a very short career, but he's revered among those of us who like traditional jazz. And this is a very introspective piano piece, one of several that were transcribed for him and published. He would sit there and play for the arranger, is what that boils down to. And the guy would sit there with his pen and he'd say, okay, let's hear it, Bix. Get some music out of the piano. Then say, hold it, let me get that. Start writing. All right, let's hear it again. Well, the thing is, it's never going to be the same way again. You know, it's like all these little, some of them very tiny little changes, but they managed it, and they actually published several pieces. This is one of them, and it's called In the Dark. Thank you very much. You've been a great audience, and because of that, I'm going to let you go pretty soon. thanks a lot. This last one is another Fats Waller tune. It's called Handful of Keys. Very much. Thank you. And now, I can drink my water. You really have been a great, in fact, let me just give you the ultimate Midwestern compliment. Thank you very much for being a halfway decent audience. And we'll see you. See you around.